brother, you know, go ahead, oh yeah, you know. And so this, what we'll be doing, will be read by the gentleman in the front row here. And from back there, Barb is going to, she's reader number 5, and as this service goes on, she'll be reading a poem she wrote. Tonight's, we have taken excerpts from the sermon. There's 7 of them in this little book, and this one that we'll be using tonight is called The Crucifixion. So let's read on, then some words in the form of a responsive reading from Isaiah, the prophet, 53. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his or her own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. Page 2 is man afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, for he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. We'll sing all of the old rugged cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the cross, the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the cross, the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to pardon and dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the cross, the old rugged till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the cross, the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a one wondrous beauty I see. For it was on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the cross, the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the cross, the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the cross, the old rugged, my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the cross, the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. I'm going to read from Mark 15. (22-39) labeled here in this New International Bible, New Revised Standard Version, I'm sorry, called The Crucifixion of Jesus. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry the cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull, and they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide which each should take. Now it was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Yeah, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days? Save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he's calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it him, saying to drink. "Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was God's son." We have some recorded music, a song by Michael Smith.
Jesus, my gentle Jesus, walking in the dark of the Garden of Gethsemane, saying to his disciples, "Sorrow is my soul, even until death. Tarry ye here a little while and watch me."
Jesus, my burden, Jesus, praying in the dark of the Garden of Gethsemane, saying, "Father, O Father, this bitter cup, let it pass from me."
Jesus, my sorrowing Jesus, the sweat like drops of blood upon his brow, talking with his Father while the three disciples slept, saying, "Oh, Father, not as I will, not as I will, but let thy will be done."
Oh, look at black-hearted Judas, sneaking through the dark of the garden, leading his crucifying mob. Oh, God, strike him down. Why don't you strike him down before he plants his traitor's kiss upon my Jesus' cheek?
And they take my blameless Jesus, and they drag him to the governor, to the mighty Roman governor, great Pilate seated in his hall. Great Pilate on his judgment seat said, "In this man I find no fault. I find no fault in him." and Pilate washed his hands.
But they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" His blood be on our heads. And they spit upon my precious Jesus. They dressed him up in a purple robe and put a crown of thorns upon his head. And they pressed it down. Oh, they pressed it down. And they mocked my sweet King Jesus.
Up Golgotha's rugged road, I see my Jesus go. I see him sink below the load. I see my drooping Jesus sink. And then they laid hold on Simon, Black Simon. Yes, Black Simon. They put the cross on Simon, and Simon bore the cross.
On Calvary, they crucified my Jesus. They nailed him to the cruel tree and the hammer.
The hammer
rang through Jerusalem streets.
I was not the centurion. I did not make speeches. I did not command the unit. No, I was the one handed the hammer. There is always one of us assigned to that part. It is not a role that you volunteer for, and it is not one you refuse unless you are eager to find yourself tied to the next cross. You step forward, you do what you have done before, and you try not to think much about the sound. You see, Rome does not reward deep reflection. Rome rewards efficiency. By the time they brought him out, we had already done our part to weaken him. The mocking, the crown of thorns, the striking. Kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. That was not some rogue group of soldiers having a bad day. That was us. That was normal. Crucifixion is not chaotic when done properly. No, it is methodical. You lay the crossbeam down. You stretch the arms. You do not place the nail through the palm because flesh tears. You drive it through the wrist where bone can hold weight. I knew the angle. I knew the weight of the hammer. I knew how many strikes it usually took. What I did not know was how to process a man who would not curse me. Most men spit. They threaten. They promise revenge in whatever afterlife they believe in. Pain strips people down to their most honest selves, and what usually comes out is rage. He looked at me, not with fury, not with panic. It would have been easier if he had hated me. I positioned the spike against his wrist. I braced myself. I swung. The sound is something you do not forget. Metal on metal. The jolt up in your arm. The involuntary reaction of a body absorbing shock. I expected screaming. I expected cursing. Instead, I heard words that did not fit the scene. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I was still holding the hammer when he said that. Forgive them. You tell yourself in my line of work that you are just the hand of the empire. You are not the judge. You are not the jury. You are simply following orders. You convince yourself that responsibility thins out when it passes through enough layers of authority. It does not thin out when the man you are nailing to wood asks heaven to pardon you. We lifted the cross. The weight dropped into place with a thud that settled the beam into the hole in the ground. I stepped back. I wiped my hands. I told myself that it was another shift completed, another rebel silenced. And then the sky darkened. I have seen storms gather. I have seen sand turn day into night. This felt heavier. The air seemed to press in on us. Even the men who usually joked through executions grew quiet. One criminal beside him mocked. Another asked to be remembered. And this man, still gasping for breath, answered, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." I remember thinking that most men in his condition are focused on surviving the next breath, not assigning eternal destinations. When he finally cried out, "It is finished," he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Gave up. That is not how crucifixion usually works. We take life slowly, brutally, but this felt as though he released it. I was the one with the hammer. I was the one who felt the resistance of bone and the recoil of iron. I was the one who told himself it was just duty. I drove the spike through his wrist, and he asked his father to forgive me while I did it. I thought I was ending a life. I did not realize I was standing in the middle of the only act that could make forgiveness possible for me.
A hammer rang through Jerusalem streets.
Jesus, my lamb like Jesus, shivering as the nails go through his hands. Jesus, my lamb like Jesus, shivering as the nails go through his feet. Jesus, my darling Jesus, groaning as the blood came spurting from his wound. Oh, look how they done my Jesus.
Mary, weeping Mary, sees her poor little Jesus on the cross. Mary, weeping Mary, see her baby Jesus on the cruel cross.
I look into his holy face so dear. He is so great, but he will be gone soon. I think of when the angel, coming near to me, began to say how in my bloom I would conceive and bear a son. The son, although I was a virgin still, was born of me. But soon I knew that he was born of God. For then he felt God's will. He went into the wilderness to be alone. He lived. He saw no one, only the evil one. Out of the wilderness he came one day and began his work on earth. He began to die. He healed, he cleansed, and then he taught to pray his own disciples. Pharisees would buy his life. But he seemed so young. He was betrayed by one who was a friend. Help him have him hanging on that tree to die. This was the reason he was sent. And in our bondage to him, we are free. But why? Why, O world, my son?
And Jesus, my lonesome Jesus, called out once more to his Father, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he dropped his head and died.
Temple was split in two. The midday sun refused to shine. The thunder rumbled, and the lightning wrote an unknown language in the sky. What a day, Lord. What a day, Lord. When my blessed Savior died.
Oh, I tremble. Yes, I tremble. It causes me to tremble, tremble, when I think of how Jesus died. Died on the steeps of Calvary. How Jesus died for sinners. Sinners like you and me.